Hello, 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 and welcome to House Meeting, a podcast about living together. I am your host, Kelly Morrison, joined, as always, by my roommates and best friends and partners in crime and athletes, I will say. I'm going to give you both the moniker of athletes, Frank Delano and Eddie Klinker. How's it going, guys? Very good to see you.
Well, thank you. And, like, we really appreciate that, because the partners in crime is for sure apt, but I don't think everyone appreciates how hard it is to smash open a gumball machine, because it takes some real physical strength.
Absolutely. Those are big. Those are big, and those are heavy, and they're designed to keep people out, you know, because they're so enticing. Big, colorful glass, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, for a couple of athletes, it only takes a couple tries to push it over and smash it with some hammers.
Right, and you both were on the varsity smash team in high school. Am I right?
You know, the catch up team took up a lot of my time, but I also did smash in high school.
That's true. I feel like sometimes we're those guys who just talk about the glory days of when we were in school, but we had good times. We had good times. So why shouldn't we? You know, the past is just, you know, the memories are treasures. So why not share them with each other?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I think, you know, it's, sometimes we're discovering new stuff about each other, but we're also sort of leading each other in, because, you know, we know people are listening, to sort of share these cool things with the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Kelly, we had it in the Google Calendar that this was going to be a three-person crime. And then right before we were getting ready and putting on our capes, you suddenly said you had an urgent appointment and kind of disappeared on us.
Yeah, my appointment was really urgent, actually. So that was tough. I know we were all suited up. We put on our striped shirts. We put on our black slacks, black sneakers, capes, masks, and we were all ready to go out and vandalize and smash up the town. But I had an urgent 8:30 p.m. Podiatry appointment that I couldn't miss. I simply couldn't.
Oh, my goodness. You finally got someone to look at your feet.
I've got someone to at least look at them.
Okay, that's big.
So that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, because, you know, I know that you'd been sort of burn noticed from the podiatry community.
I was. I woke up one morning. All my credit card was didn't work. My license was gone. I had no form of ID. And just two big bad feet. Two really awful feet, and I tried to walk into a podiatry office. My insurance card along with my credit cards were gone, so no one would see me. I was a man without, you know, I had no hope. So that's why I had to start doing crimes. That's why I started doing these crimes. That's why I roped you guys in.
It's literally why most people start doing crimes. It's because they can't get medical attention.
It's true.
But Frank, you said this was the, we can talk all day about my feet, and I would like to, but Frank, you said that, and I don't know if you're trying to make me feel bad, but this crime that you guys did, you know, went off better than expected.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to make you feel bad, but with your absence and your lack of not great feet, we were able to like succeed in, abducting the bodega cat that we've had our eye on for quite some time down the block. You know, we're getting into phase two now where we're training the bodega cat to do cat burglary for us.
Yeah.
And we will say it's been pretty easy.
The training has been easy.
The overall experience, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's so easy to get along with this cat. And also, like, you know, all it wants for a reward for doing crime is a simple piece of gum. And guess who has more of that than anybody? Us.
Yeah, this cat is always walking around, chewing with its sharp, sharp teeth, chewing this gum and blowing bubbles. And I will say, guys, I'm sorry. When I know I'm usually the getaway driver. That's my role. I'm known as the wheel man. But if I push the pedals too hard, my feet get swollen. So I would have to drive very, very slow. So we did get caught quite a bit. You know, because if I push the pedal too hard, then, you know, it hurts the soles. It hurts the soles.
It also made your big swollen feet all squeaky. So it would just make a big old squeaky sound every time you would hit the
brakes. some people have squeaky shoes. I have squeaky feet. That is in the bones and in the tendons. There's air trapped in there or something that makes it squeak. And I've got someone to look at it. I haven't got someone to listen to it yet. That's the next step to get a podiatrist that's a little more less squeamish. A lot of the podiatrists I've been trying to see have been a little too squeamish for me. But this cat, I mean, this cat fits in better than you know, I'd say this cat's an amazing roommate. I don't know if we can call a pet a roommate, but, you know, it's doing great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it cleans up after itself. It never takes up the shower because it just licks itself clean.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet hours, very respectful of the quiet hours. That's true. Just sits in the corner with its glowing eyes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he's picked? I mean, I don't know if this is every pet, but when I was growing up, me and all my brothers, I have six brothers. We would always fight who was our rabbit's favorite. I had a rabbit called Larry Bird when I was a little boy. And we would always fight who was Larry Bird's favorite. Who would he hop to? And the cat doesn't seem to. I mean, I'm still on the outs. I'm still on the outs of like the crime. You know, I still have to buy my way back in. But of you two, who do you think the cat prefers a little bit? This might be incendiary. You know, I don't want to start anything, but I think it's fun to talk about.
Well, I mean, first off, I just want to say that I think a little bit the cat may be wary of you because dogs are so driven to your feet. They think they're squeaky chew toys.
Mm.
So that could be part of what's keeping the cat away.
You think the several dogs chasing me all the time?
Yeah, I think that could probably scare the cat a little bit.
Okay, that's good. It makes it a little less personal for me.
Yeah, it's the dog's fault, not yours.
Oh, go whew, whew, whew.
To answer your question, I think it's probably Frank because he's the gum guy.
That's true.
Yeah, I've smashed quite a bit of gumball machines. I've accumulated quite a bit of hammers over the years. You know, we have our annual hammer throw in the town where, you know, best hammer thrower gets another hammer. So, you know, I got a lot of gumballs to give out.
Wow, Frank, you and your hammers. I have to say, you know what? You can tell a lot about a person by their hobbies. You know, how they care for things. And I will say, other parts of your life, Frank, you have really let go. I'll say it. It seems you don't care at all. But these hammers, you care for them with the utmost care, with your little toothbrush, scrubbing them, categorizing them, alphabetizing them. It's impressive.
Oh. I mean, listen, I got to take care of these hammers, right? Because they fix everything. Everything in my life that breaks, I could just fix it with a hammer. So I'm just happy to have them around. Just in case something goes wrong.
You know, there's that old phrase that said, when all you have is a hammer, everything is a nail. And you love that.
I love it. That's my, you know, and ironically, I've lost a lot of my nails trying to smash nails into the wall because I don't have the best coordination with a hammer. But that's something that I'm striving to get better at, obviously. Yeah. And that's why... You know, I mean, I could throw a hammer. That's not a problem. But precision is where I really lack.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. It's a haunting thing for me, especially because I don't have any fingernails anymore.
Kelly, you mentioned that saying was old. And I mean, that doesn't even totally do it justice. That's something that Jesus, the first carpenter, said. And it does make me a little concerned that you found the Bible in that hiding place.
I found the Bible. You guys tried to hide the Bible from me and I found it again.
Oh, no. No, you found it.
I don't know why you guys are always trying. I'm not going to get any big ideas. I like it. It's a good book. It's got some good stuff.
I mean, you tried to literally wrangle one of each animal in town into a big wooden ark that you made.
Mm-hmm. I did. I got one of each because it was a singles cruise.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not... I mean, I like that part of the Bible, but it's like you don't... I mean, you're going on a cruise. You're going to meet people. It's like you don't want to bring one other person just because they look like you. That's not what a cruise is about. A cruise is about mixing it up. So, yeah, I got one of every animal in town. There's not that many animals here because of the chasm. There's a big geologic event like this, some of the animals get scared away. All the birds fly out of the trees and things. So the animals that were left in town that could adapt to the new environment, yeah, I brought them on the cruise and everyone had a really good time. And thank you for the help building it, Frank.
I mean, listen, when a hammer needs a hammering, I'm a hammer.
It took a little longer than I thought because you did have to throw, like when I would set up the nail and you'd have to throw the hammer from about 30 feet, you know, and try to hit it right on the head. And it took a while, but you were right. That's a better way to do it.
Oh yeah, I've learned that from years of playing Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. Just toss it in a nice spinning motion, and it'll get to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and you're just an absolute terror at the reptile house at the zoo when you see those turtles.
I mean, those turtles have it coming to them. They're not. They're just pure evil. They're just working for a bigger turtle. You know, there's a big. Big spiky turtle somewhere just waiting to attack.
The people at the zoo, our friend Dan works at the zoo, a friend Dan the robot, he's still the PR guy for the zoo. He's assured you there is no big spiky turtle pulling the strings at that zoo. He has assured you.
I mean, listen, where there's a Koopa Jr., their prized turtle at the zoo, there's got to be a King Koopa. I mean, he's just not a junior for nothing.
That's true. You can't be a first junior. There has to be some sort of predecessor, I would imagine.
Yeah, you would think. That's always really confused me about junior mints. Every time I go to the movies, I say, okay, this is great, but where are the daddy mints? And the way these teenagers look at me when I ask for my daddy mints, you would not believe how disrespectful and mean they are to me.
Eddie, you know, if I have an opportunity, the one thing I love bashing more than gumball machines is bashing teen self-esteem. I would love to be on your side here, but I think it's also the way you ask for these daddy mints and maybe your outfit that you wear when you ask for the daddy mints.
Oh, you mean my movie watching harness?
Do you mean the movie watching harness that allows you to bounce up and down?
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, we don't have a 4D experience at our local movie theater.
I think you're bringing too many Ds. I think you're trying to stimulate yourself with too many senses when you go to the movie theater. Because they have the 3D, you know, it's the movie, it'll come out at you. But you want more than that.
Yeah, that's why I have, you know, my harness with the grappling hooks. I shoot it into the ceiling of the movie theater. And then I bounce around when scary stuff is happening.
But that's only phase 5 of your 12D experience, am I right?
Oh, yeah, it's very true. You know, I have my smell kit. I'm sort of like, you know, the same way that there's like Foley guys who will, you know, create sounds unconventionally. I'll create smells unconventionally to enhance the movie for everyone.
This might be easier because, like, we usually try to keep it pretty simple and pretty straightforward on this show. But maybe it would be easier to break down Eddie's 12 senses that he does have. That we all know about, and then it'll be easier to kind of say how each sense affects the movie-going experience. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So you have the 5 that everyone has, right? You've got sight. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people. Sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing.
Yes, I do have those.
Okay.
I have the 6th sense.
Right, you can see dead people, of course. Yeah, yeah. Ghosts are dead people. Or people who are astral projecting, you know, that counts.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Sometimes hard to tell the difference. You know, I'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, I'm just taking it now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there was that. You did get very confused when we went to that, when you used to work at the old-timey village when you were a dentist.
Oh, yeah, when I chiseled people's teeth.
You'd be on break and you'd see all these, like, old-timey ghosts running around. It's like, no, I'm Carl. I'm Carl. I'm a janitor. I'm just wearing this outfit and astral projecting.
Yeah, it's true. It really was just so confusing because, you know, these people are literally being paid to look like the townspeople of the past.
Yeah.
It was tough. It's very tough.
So that's 6. Then the 7?
7th, I have spider sense.
Spider sense? You can tell when there's a new Spider-Man reboot coming out?
Yeah.
You know, before they drop it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The people at Deadline fucking hate my guts.
Oh, yeah. You've been scooping Deadline for a while with this.
Oh, yeah, every time. And so, you know, they tried to get me banned from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But Twitter wouldn't do it, even though I have some very bad opinions.
Yeah. 8th sense, your sense, 8th sense, your sense of rhythm. You have an innate sense of rhythm and movement. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? You can find, you can, like, feel. It's like feeling sound. Like, when Miami Sound Machine comes on, look out, this guy is having a euphoric experience.
Oh, yeah. It just, you know, I basically become the rhythm, which actually sort of leads into my 9th sense, which is I have synesthesia.
What is that again?
It's where you can see music.
Yes, you can see music. What's your favorite music to look at?
My favorite music to look at, it's gotta be Pitbull.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, yeah, me too. I don't even have synesthesia, but if I can look at Pitbull's music, boy, oh boy, do I feel like I do.
Oh, yeah, it's just, you know, it's got so many exquisite sort of swirling colors in there.
Mm-hmm. 10th Sense. That was 9, synesthesia. 10th Sense.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk to animals.
Talk to animals.
That's great.
Yeah, you know.
Very handy for cat crimes.
It's true. It really has helped me communicate. But, you know, it's also one of those things where I think it, like, you know, it appreciates that there can be quiet moments with Franklin, which is why it's more drawn to Franklin.
That makes sense.
The 11th sense I have is I can sense time.
Mm-hmm.
I see space-time all around us. I can create little black holes with my fingers when I pinch the air.
Yes, you do have some Dr. Manhattan-y sense. It's not full-on Dr. Manhattan, but you know, it's there. You exist in the timescape. I will say you can manipulate and can see the timescape.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Not, you know, to the extent that he can. You know, I tried it, but I'm like, I just can't pull off never wearing clothes. Like, I'm just not powerful enough to pull that off.
You do look good blue.
I do look good blue, but
you look good blue.
I am legally not allowed to do that anymore after I was sued over my Blue Guys troop.
The Blue Guys troop. Well, let's go into your 12th sense, which is seeing dead animals.
Yes. I see animal ghosts.
You see animal ghosts. But your Blue Guys troop. Now, Franklin, you thought this was a good idea. You were in the Blue Guys troop too as well, Franklin, am I right?
Oh, for sure, yeah. It was my idea to be blue, I guess. And I was just like, hey guys, I got all this extra blue paint. Like, what should we do?
And you swear that after we went to Vegas and saw the blue man group, and you came up with the Blue Guys troop idea, you swear there was no correlation between the two.
No.
It's totally different. That's what I think. I'm asking the question. I'm like Tucker Carlson. You know, I'm asking the question so we can answer it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's like such a crucial difference that it's like, you know, whereas like the blue guys, you know, they don't talk. The whole thing with blue guys was, or the blue men don't talk. So the blue guys, we don't see. And so we do everything with our eyes closed.
And you talk a lot.
Yes.
Throughout.
Yes.
It's a combination of Marco Polo, but also just I can't see.
Right. So you start off and you don't know where you are. And also you're very hairy. The blue man group is bald. You guys are very hairy when you go out there.
Oh, yeah. We all got hair plugs for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'd come out there with our eyes closed. We'd start spitting marshmallows into the crowd, talking to them about what their favorite campfire treat is.
Mm-hmm.
And then Franklin would sort of get into like a little a dance number.
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite part. Mm-hmm. It was more like an interpretive dance kind of thing where, you know, I just kind of danced around and said all the reasons why we weren't the Blue Man Group and how we are the Blue Guys troop.
Right, you tried to get ahead of it, which is good. That's what you say you should do when you know a scandal might break. It's good to get ahead of it. So you did a lot of explaining, a lot of apologizing, a lot of pointing at the hair plugs. You know, we're talking. This is different, you know. It was almost like you're trying to prove a point before even the show started.
I couldn't deal with any kind of negative criticism, you know, especially completely painted in blue, because I just think the visual image of me being yelled at about how wrong I am and how wrong all of us were would just been unbearable.
Yeah, the theater critics, in lieu of, you know, seeing the show and then going home and then writing it and reading about it the next day, the critics took it upon themselves to find you after the show and just scream at you.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable because I didn't see them coming. They just like kind of swooped in like raptors.
Mm-hmm. Like raptors. Like raptors.
Yeah, it was...
One in each ear.
It was definitely raptor-like, and I know because I've seen their ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's included in the 12th sense. You can see dinosaur ghosts. That's what makes you such a good paleontologist.
It's true. They always lead me to their bones because they want someone to know that they were murdered by another dinosaur.
You are not just a run-of-the-mill paleontologist. You are actually you help dinosaurs finish their unfinished business. and move on to the afterlife. Because so many dinosaurs, because I read in the Bible, dinosaurs are before God. It was dinosaurs, then God. So they don't have a chance to go to heaven. So their souls are trapped on earth. This is, you shouldn't hide the Bible from me, so I learned things. But you have to help all of these dinosaurs finish what they started so they can move on to the afterlife.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, they've, you know, been trapped on Earth for millions and millions of years. So they're really frustrated. They're pissed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They said, it's like, oh, man, I never got to eat that last leaf.
Or so I meant to eat leaves constantly.
Constantly have to eat leaves. Is like a surrogate, so they can like vicariously look through me.
Mm.
They're also really into pottery too, yeah?
Yeah, it's true. So many of them wish they'd learned, they'd taken that pottery class.
Yeah, and you know what? Different strokes for different folks. I'll say it's very sexy when you make those giant urns. It's very sexy when you go out onto the giant pottery wheel you bought 16 feet in diameter and just make those big, big urns outside.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I'm sort of channeling sort of a sensuous nature of everything that's happening around me, because as I'm doing this, all the dinosaurs are fucking in a big circle around me because they're so turned on by the pottery.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's, you know what? You're a good person. You're Christ-like in that way. You put others before yourself.
Yeah, I guess I am sort of Christ-like, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Yeah, maybe I am glad you found that Bible.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's got some good stuff in there. It's full of Post-its, I noticed. I think I got this secondhand. And somebody really marked up this Bible. It looks like it's like a grad student's Bible. Oh, the cat's on the fridge. The cat's on the fridge. Frank, I told you not to let the cat get on the fridge.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, hey. Well, Marcus, I mean, get down, Marcus. Come on, come down from the fridge. All right, see, he's down.
Okay. All right.
You know, Eddie, I feel like this could have been averted since you do have the sense of being able to talk to animals.
Yeah, but, you know, Cat doesn't like to talk to me. I think it thinks I'm sort of a dick.
Whoa. I thought he just acted that way because he was a cat, but you think he thinks you're a dick? Did you do something dick-like?
I think he sort of views me as sort of a ne'er-do-well, like his friend that he just sort of puts up with from a life he wants to leave behind. And I'm always coming up and being like, come on, one last heist, then we're done.
So this cat, even though y'all are still training him for upcoming crimes, he wants out.
Oh, yeah.
He's exhausted.
He desperately wants to. I mean, you know, it's a long apprenticeship to be a criminal. I'd say we've done probably 20 to 30 heists with this cat.
Oh, my God. Wow. No wonder he's so grizzled.
Oh, yeah. We also, you know, famously we killed a bear at the museum gala and we did skin it and give him a little grizzly coat so he could be more grizzled. But yeah, he's really seen some shit.
Wow.
We were just trying to rob a train and it went completely off the tracks.
Oh, that
it was a crazy train.
Yeah. You guys tried to rob Crazy Train with Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah. And then he tried to bite our heads off like we were bats.
Well, that's how you guys got in, right? You all dressed up as bats to be like in and dressed up in his lunchbox to infiltrate the train.
Yeah, that's right. We hid in his big lunchbox.
He's a hungry guy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I've read the whole Bible. There's nothing wrong with biting the heads off of bats. It's not in there once.
Oh, interesting. So, because, you know, normally what happens is you get to a certain part and then bad stuff starts happening. Like, you start out at the beginning and you're kind of getting into, like, the Samson hair stuff. And, like, we can tell because you start growing your hair real long and thinking you're really strong. And
I'm very impressionable. I'm a very impressionable young reader.
And then every time I see that package where it's like from Locusts Express, I'm like, oh no, he's trying to make his own plagues again. He got to the Moses part.
Well, don't make me build any more pyramids. You two have made me build a couple pyramids, and I thought that was just the way it is, but apparently other people also don't like building pyramids just like me.
Well, where are we supposed to go when we die, huh? We need a pyramid.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I want you both, when you do die, to rest in peace. I want you to go to the afterlife. But
okay, great.
But it's exhausting. And this loincloth is revealing.
Okay, well, we're wearing them too. So we're all on equal footing. Just like how Franklin dumped blue paint on all the audience at the Blue Guy show. So everyone was equal.
I thought that added a real flavor to the show that the Blue Man Group could not possibly have gotten away with.
I think, see, I thought that was more of a distraction, because once like those lawyers came in, you just dumped blue paint on the whole audience and you were like, scatter! You tried to like lose yourself in the chaos, because they were like, you don't know who the blue guy is. You also tried to give the entire audience hair plugs.
Oh, yeah. Well, some might say that, yes, it was a diversion. Others might say that the perfect getaway. I mean, we did get away.
Some say it was
initially
a diversion. Some say it was a perfect getaway.
Yeah.
Depending on what critic you spoke to that shouted at you that evening.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that, you know, some of the critics were kind of on board until we got to the part where Franklin started trying to hammer hair plugs into people's heads.
I mean, you want to make sure they stay in. I mean, that's the thing. And what better than a hammer? I mean, of course, hammers literally fix any situation I find myself in.
Frank, you are, it's canon, you are a brilliant surgeon. You are a brilliant surgeon, my friend. Sometimes the patient needs more instruction than just hold still. You know what I mean?
I mean, I hear you. Yeah. I mean, my bedside manner for sure could get some work. But, you know, when you're in a pinch and you're feeling the throes of theater, you know, when the stage just like comes over you, you know, you throw all that out the window and you just go for the performance.
Well, you did build that stage and the stage did go over you. It was the first, yeah, it was the first non-stage on a boat to fully capsize. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so. It tipped over. We all wound up on our heads and our butts in the air. Mm-hmm. Heads on the floor, butts in the air. I tried to fix it. That was pretty much the end of our run there.
You did try to fix it.
I did try to fix it.
You did throw a lot of hammers at the capsizing stage, and you're clamoring for the lifeboats. And I Billy Zaned it. I was in the audience. I Billy Zaned it. I had my hair plugs. I was covered in blue. I grabbed the closest baby I could, and I tried to get out of there. So no one comes out of this smelling like roses. You know?
It's true. Eddie did throw his love of his life off of his one raft that he had.
Yeah, it's true. That's how we sort of ended up at the whole Summer of Love Bachelor's Ball thing, was I think we're all trying to get over some heartbreak from the blue guy concert.
Yeah, we all went
in particular.
We all went in with steady relationships, rock solid relationships, unbreakable relationships. Should we?
I mean, we had a wedding date set. We were going to have a three-way marriage, like three marriages in one day.
That was a lot of phone calls we had to explain. No, it's not a three-way wedding. It's three separate weddings that happen together at once on the same day with the same priest at the same time. But we're not marrying each other. We're marrying three separate people as three people together at once.
Yeah, but then, you know, they all fell off that capsizing stage into an icy tub of Bud Lights and froze to death.
And let me tell you, sending out all of those uninvitations to our three-way wedding.
Yeah.
I needed a cold Coors Light. That was a those were tough letters to write.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I mean, especially to their family.
Yeah. That was really hard.
Do you ever miss them? Do you ever miss our almost wives?
I mean,
long pause for everybody.
Well, I'm just trying not to make anyone jealous, cuz you know I can talk to ghosts.
Oh my God! Have you been talking to our three-way? Are talking to our wives?
Oh yeah, all the time.
No, how are they? Do they ever ask about me?
Yeah, they're not happy with you or any of us.
Oh, okay. It's kind of a critic shout at you right now. I get it.
Yeah, they would love to corner us and sort of scream at us, but mostly they just yell at me. But you know, I've been trying to do a make good. Oh, you know. I'll kill a Coors Light. I'll kill three Coors Lights every day. I bring them the ghosts of the beer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. So you kill the beer and then the beer becomes a ghost so they can kick back and relax and have some nice, refreshing light beer. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, Marjorie loved light beer.
Yeah. My fiance, also named Marjorie, also loved light beer.
Mm-hmm.
Marjorie, my fiance.
See, this is something that maybe we should have talked about, because the three women that we were going to marry were named Marjorie, Anne, and Carol.
Huh?
And I think Marjorie was my wife.
I don't think so.
No, I'm pretty sure. Frank, you were with Carol, right?
I was pretty sure it was Marjorie.
No, because whenever Marjorie and I would hang out, you two and Carol and Anne would always...
No, see, I was with Marjorie. Anne and Carol were her friends that you two were dating.
No.
I think so.
Yeah, Marjorie told me Anne and Carol were the people that you two...
Wait, were we all dating? What? Were we all planning on marrying Marjorie and just we had those two duds, Anne and Carol, just tagging along?
I don't even remember Anne and Carol claiming... anything. They just kind of were there.
They never claimed anything. If I was begging Anne or Carol to claim something, I was like, Anne, the sandwich has your name on it. Is this yours? And they'd be like, I don't know. Anne, we did a deli run. This says Anne on it. This is yours. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell at your girlfriend like that, Eddie.
Well, you know, here's the thing is that she wasn't my girlfriend. I was dating Marjorie.
Oh, my God. I wish I could talk to Ghost. I wish I could contact Marjorie. I can't wait till I die and go to heaven and talk to Marjorie.
Yeah, you know what? I can't wait for that either. I probably promptly after this recording, I'm going to go talk to them. We're going to sort this whole thing out. And, you know, we'll figure out who was dating who.
Okay. Speaking of who was dating who, on today's date, we have an amazing guest. Did y'all know that? Ooh. And today, the guest today is a little bit different. They do not live in the building.
Oh shit!
Which is a change of pace for us. But we're going to take a quick break. We're still very excited to meet them because they're a member of the community of this town. We're excited to meet them. When we come back, Eddie, Frank, and I are going to talk to Large Bird. Large Bird. So stick with us through the break, and we will be right back with Large Bird. Thanks. Eddie, it looks like you shattered both your wrists.
Oh, yeah. You know me. I just can't stop opening pickle jars. And eventually they just give out.
Your hubris will be the end of you, young man. Do you know that?
My hubris will be the end of my humerus.
I mean, we're just so lucky that we have the best wrist reconstruction doctor in town.
Oh, yeah. Old Slaps McGraw.
Every time I shatter my wrist, that's the first phone call I make with my toes because I can't call with my hands.
Yeah, it's true. Slaps McGraw, the town's best wrist doctor and inventor of the foot phone. Get a foot phone with your first patient evaluation from Slaps McGraw.
Now, Frank, how does a foot phone differ from a regular phone? The people are going to want to know.
Okay, so if you try to pick up a foot phone with your hands, you're going to drop it because the only way to pick up a foot phone is with your feet. And the only way to dial it is with your feet.
Right, it will not register the hand's command.
No, it will not recognize the delicate touch of a finger stroke.
No, it's patented toe touch technology. It will only work if you dial with your toes.
And it'll know. And you're probably thinking, I have pretty round, small fingers. I'm sure I could fool this toe phone, this foot phone. You'd be wrong, my friend. You'd be a fool. You'd be a small-fingered fool.
Yeah, the only way you're going to fool this phone is if you go to another surgeon who switches your feet and your hands, and then you can use your hand, which is a foot.
We have the best hand-foot replacement doctor in town. Slaps McGraw's brother.
Taps McGraw.
So whether you're trying to reconstruct your shattered wrists or move your hands where your feet are and your feet where your hands are because you don't want to use some complicated and expensive phone. The foot phone is very expensive.
Not to mention, so many people have purposefully shattered their wrists in trying to find out the patented technology and how the foot phone even works at all.
Steve Jobs tried it.
Steve Jobs showed up with shattered wrists and tried to reverse engineer the foot phone. And it's what killed him.
Yeah.
Worked himself to death.
Yeah, he just like, it popped an aneurysm in his brain. It was working so hard trying to reverse engineer it.
And his hubris was his downfall.
And that's an ad.
Welcome back to House Meeting. Thanks for sitting with us through the break. Frank, Eddie, and I are very, very excited to introduce you to our next guest. They are not a member of our building, but they're still a member of this town and a member of the community, and maybe an underrepresented member of the community that we're very excited to have on. Everyone, please give it up for Large Bird. Large Bird, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much.
Hello. Wow. It's so incredible to see you all.
Wow. Wow. What an infectious energy. Thank you. It's wonderful to see you.
Oh my gosh. Is that a cat? Oh, it's all over me. Whoa.
Oh, Frank, what did I say about the cat and your guests? Come on.
I'm so sorry, Large Bird. I'll get this cat out of the way. It's just, he can't help it.
Oh, of course. Are you going to eat it?
No, I wasn't intending on eating the cat.
Oh, okay. Well, then...
Oh,
I will.
I mean, it's our friend.
Oh, well then off you go, you little scamp. Ha ha!
Thank you for asking, though. That was polite. But Large Bird, thank you for coming on the show. Was it a commute for you? Where do you come from?
Oh, well, I come from the chasm in the middle of town.
The chasm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, you might be the first person we've talked to that's actually from the chasm.
Oh, wow, EG, have you ever been?
I'm there, at least at the outskirts of it a lot, because I'm a fossil hunter.
Oh.
And, you know, all those fossil outcrops popped up when it ripped open.
Mm-hmm. If you have a rope that leads about like halfway down the chasm, you'll find a bunch of fossils. I totally know. Yeah. You're the guy with the half rope.
Yeah, that's me. I've got the half rope.
So nice to see you in person.
I've been down there once. Mm-hmm. I actually tried to run for mayor down there, but my policies weren't received very well, which I understand. Politics is not personal, but we're so happy to have you. We would love to know a little bit more about what life is like down there, so that the surface dwellers that listen to the show, maybe they'll have a new appreciation. We would love your perspective.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love for you all to learn about my street in particular, or really, it's more of an avenue. I live on 456 2/3 Tahini Avenue, a beautiful block filled with all kinds of creatures like me, a 10-foot, 7-inch common or regular starling.
Wow. You know, it's not often that living in an Old Navy comes in handy, but this is great. Very high ceilings. I hope you're comfortable here.
I feel genuinely more free than I ever have in my life.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a great feeling. I'm sure, as a host, you know, mm-hmm. that's all we can hope for, you know.
No, Frank, despite being in an airplane like hangar, basically, but if you took an airplane hangar and added graphic tees and long johns, I feel like I could do anything here.
Do you have clothes down there usually? I know the people who fell down there, like they had clothes, they were wearing them, but do you wear clothes on your avenue?
Oh, I think all clothes have been sort of burned immediately, both by the relation to the Earth's core and by the lack of necessity for them. As you can see, I'm covered in what looks to be blood-stained feathers, but if you look up common finch, it's pretty similar pattern, so I wouldn't look into it.
Frank, you're a bird watcher, am I right?
Oh, yeah. I love looking at birds. It's something I have noticed a lot of birds have had, like, you know, blood-like looking feathers. It's popular this time of year. Mm-hmm. I've tasted a few feathers just to make sure, and I can assure you it's definitely not blood.
Well, thank you for checking. And if you like looking at birds, you're going to love looking at me. I'm large.
I mean, you are a big, large guy, a bird person. I mean, and this is the biggest bird I've laid my eyes on. I'm trying to document more birds. So this is one for the books, as they say.
Oh, yeah. Frank, do you want to show Large Bird your drawings?
Yeah, show Large Bird your bird drawings that you do.
I got this little book.
And then I'll show you my drawings.
Art Corner, house meeting Art Corner.
Oh, Art Corner. Yeah, every time I see a bird, I draw it into my book right here. Oh, you can see right here.
Wow.
This is a spotted robin. And over here, we got a speckled pigeon. Mm-hmm. And over here, we got a large bird.
Oh, that's me.
Over here, we got a blue guy.
Wait, go back. Go back to the third one. Go back. That's large. Have you seen Large Bird before?
Oh, I mean, I've seen Large Bird. I mean, it's a little shadowy because it was in the chasm. Mm-hmm. You know, I would see this large bird-like figure. And so now I'm going to, I actually, if you look over here, I started what you look like now up close and personal.
Right. I look very different. In the first photo, I'm surrounded by shadow and it looks like I'm hovering over a smaller creature and it's begging for its life. But in the second picture, I look really fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm actually I like to draw myself into some of these. So I'm probably, I hope this is okay, but I'm going to draw myself hugging you because you know, I like to hug my friends.
Friend, that's, I would say, that's how I feel. I know, Large Bird, I know we've just met, but when you meet somebody and, like, you know, the energy is this compatible, like, you are such a, you seem like such a kind, you know, friendly creature. I would consider you a friend as well. You're one of the three of us now, or the four of us, I should say.
You mean I can stay at your house whenever I want?
That's what friends do, so of course. We have the room.
Perfect. You'll never, ever, and I promise, know when I'm here.
Now, crossing your fingers on the surface means you're lying. Does that mean something different in the chasm? I noticed that your feathery fingers, and I would call them fingers. You're definitely mostly bird, but you do have large human-like hands.
Mm-hmm. They are tactile, and they can grab.
I see that.
Yeah, and I see they've got, you know, those long, you know, as birds do. You've got some really razor-sharp talons at the end of those fingers.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes me wonder, like, I guess, you know, we, like, observe from halfway down the chasm, like, what's going on, or, you know, Kelly's been down there to sort of experience sort of the political side of things, but, like, what's the day-to-day life like down there?
Oh, well, it's pretty wonderful. In fact, it kind of reminds me of a dance. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm kicking my legs higher than you can believe.
Oh, wow. Eddie is moving around to this rhythm like he is possessed.
I can feel it. I can see it.
Yeah, I guess I would say it's kind of like that series of movements. But if I had to say it in words for my friends who don't have synesthesia but for dance, I would say it's kind of like, have you ever woken up and been on cloud 9 and a bunch of other good numbers?
Franklin, you woke up in the clouds once.
I did. My rocket bed prototype didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. It kind of turned more into like an injector seat kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And boy, oh boy, because I connected it to my alarm clock, so it was quite the morning.
You would go into sleepies and be like, I need it to be springier. And you would really make a scene. You would pull out your Bowie knife, slice open the mattresses. And finally, they gave you an experimental spring. They said, don't do this. This is going to launch you into space. It's too springy for you. And you really had to manhandle Mr. Sleepy and get that spring out there.
Yeah, I remember you like ripped off his dangly little cap.
He was in his nightgown with his candle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I woke him up in the middle of the night because I just couldn't go out one more minute sleeping without more springs in my bed. He also told me that he had just been visited by three ghosts, so he was kind of freaked out from the get-go, from the minute I knocked on that door.
Oh,
it was cold sweat.
Oh, deep, like, you could see, like, icicles coming off of his forehead.
At that point, he can't really tell if you're a fourth ghost or just a mean gentleman.
Yeah, he might just think everyone he sees that day is another ghost. He's like, I mean, this is Eddie territory. He's seeing 9, 10, 15 ghosts in a row.
It's true. They all kind of, you know, there's just, you can't tell the difference. You know, some of the ghosts, you know, have their faces scraped off or, you know, their intestines are falling out. You're like, this has got to be a ghost. This guy to be walking around having a conversation with me. But sometimes you just can't tell.
Sometimes ghosts are just sleepy and cranky.
That's true. It's true, especially if they were killed in their sleep. Now, Large Bird, there's not too much that we surface dwellers know about the chasm and life in the chasm. Is everyone down there some sort of large bird, or did the mutations kind of take different? Are there other, what are your friends like, I guess is my big question.
Honestly, it's not too different from what I'm seeing here. I've got a couple of roommates. We live in what is basically an enormous, like a chasm version of the gap.
Okay. Okay, the gap did fall down there. I remember that now.
The gap on Tahini Avenue fell down into the chasm, fully intact. And we sort of just climbed on in. It's me, Large Bird. King Koopa lives with me. It's a, like, if you can imagine a turtle, but with spikes on its back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And, and then my third roommate is the Gentleman Spider, which is a large spider with the powers of a man.
you know, this King Koopa is something that we've been trying to discourage Frank from believing is real, or trying to like force some confrontation with for as long as I can remember. And you're telling us this is a real guy and he does live not that far from our house.
I know we're a town that loves egg sports, but there is going to be some serious egg on Eddie and my faces if you tell us that this King Koopa is real.
Oh, yes. And if you were in the chasm, it would be hot egg because it's so hot down there. But also, yes, King Koopa's my roommate and he and I get to some scrapes, but regular scrapes. Like, you can't call them papa mints. They're junior mints.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never don't get me wrong. I'm sorry, Large Bird. I've seen Frank steamed before. I've seen Frank steamed up. One time he tried to confront his high school bully, and he pissed himself on the floor. But he is very angry about knowing that King Koopa is alive and well.
Right. I noticed that you all are all wearing loincloths. Is that a regular surface thing to do when you're mad and with friends?
Well, that's more about we were building pyramids, so me and Frank have a place to go when we die.
Ah.
You'll probably notice that there's two big pyramids in this Old Navy.
I couldn't tell if that was like some sort of a racist thing that Old Navy was doing. I'm learning a lot. I have the mental acuity of a 6-year-old.
This was the only Old Navy that tried to do the racist collection, but it was quickly phased out. No, this is unrelated. No. Hopefully non-racist pyramids.
You can't see because it's an audio medium, but I'm taking my enormous wing and brushing it across my forehead and going, "Fee you."
And that's just not because you're hot from the chasm.
No, it's because I dodged a major bullet and I'm knocking over all these graphic tees with my huge wing and my talons are scraping the floor.
You know, Large Bird, your hands, they're pretty big. I bet you could squeeze my whole head with just one hand.
Oh, I would really just need my forefinger and thumb. And I could probably, I've never done it before, but I could probably pop you like a grape.
That's pretty impressive. I think that's pretty cool.
Wow, ear-to-ear smile on Franklin at the prospect of his head getting popped like a grape.
Yeah, well, I mean, his childhood heroes are the California Raisins. So to be even resemble their origins has to make him excited.
To even be referred to as a grape just fills him with glee.
To be a grape feels great.
Well, I'm kind of all about making dreams come true. It's my official job title down in the chasm.
That's exciting. It's not always fun to talk about work, but how did you become the dream maker?
The maker of dreams?
And the maker and of the, dreams.
Well, and
did you go to school for it?
Technically, I'm still in school, but that's because I'm a forever student of changing lives for the better. See, ooh, there was a lot of problems in the chasm, like interlopers, outlanders, false prophets, and people trying to change our politics from the outside without knowing who we are. I think in the surface you would call that carpet bagging.
Yep. Big town. This town is famous for carpet bagging.
Oh, I see, because I see all these carpets and bags in this Old Navy. Mm-hmm, I'm now getting it. I learned so much today. So I was sent and trained, I guess, and I still go to school. I'm a learner to rid the town and chasm of all of these things that are causing problems and making our dreams come true.
Huh. Frank and Eddie, would you mind if I... we need to... Living in an Old Navy, there's a lot of upkeep. We need to check the V-necks for a second. Would you mind if we went over and checked the V-neck section while we had a little one? We'll be right back, Large Bird. I'm so sorry. If you could just cover your big ears with your big hands. Oh, you also have very large ears.
They're enormous. They are almost the length of my full body.
Okay. All right. Just one second. Thank you so much. Frank and...
Ta-ta!
Frank and Eddie, are you guys hearing what I'm hearing?
I mean, I'm a little confused. The V-necks are fine.
No, of course the V-necks are fine. We check on them every day. What I'm saying is I feel like false prophets, interlopers. I read about all this in the Bible. I think he's here to smite us.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, you're the one with the Bible knowledge. You probably know best.
Frank, still ear-to-ear smile on you after thinking that we're going to get smited.
Well, smite or not, this guy is my way to King Koopa. and I can finally take this son of a bitch down.
Okay, so you're saying we're gonna have to game this guy. We're gonna have to get him to invite us into the chasm.
That's right. We're vampires, and we gotta get invited into this house.
Okay. I'm willing to do this just so we can put this King Koopa thing at rest. But if I get filleted and we all die, I get to date Marjorie like I always have.
Marjorie is not alive.
He's saying if he becomes a ghost, he wants to date my girlfriend Marjorie.
My girlfriend Marjorie?
My girlfriend Marjorie. All right. He's never going to believe that we were looking at V-necks for this long. We have to get him to invite us to the chasm, all right?
Okay.
Well, it looks like the slice of pizza fits all the V-necks perfectly, mm-hmm. so they're all aligned. Mm-hmm.
Oh, how wonderful and deeply specific. While you were gone, I was finding about 12 to 17 places I could nest, and you would have no idea I was there.
Wow.
12 to 17. That's good. So a large bird. How
mm-hmm.
what's it? How do you move back and forth so freely? You know, a lot of the creatures haven't been able to escape the chasm, but you seem to have no problem. How do you traverse it so effortlessly?
Oh, I have multiple methods of locomotion. As you can see, I have a 20-foot wingspan and deeply, deeply sharp, almost unnecessarily so, claws. So if for some reason a wing of mine is injured and I can't achieve the beautiful power of flight and go hee-hee over the chasm, I can just dig these claws into the rock face, ripping fossils out, and skitter at about a climb speed of about 26 miles per hour.
Oh, shit.
Up, down, sideways. There's almost no way anything could escape from me on a wall.
And I know I don't like to comment on our guests' bodies, but I keep doing it. So maybe I do like to do it. You also seem to have very, very powerful human-like legs.
Yes. I guess the closest thing a listener could think of would be like an Olympic swimmer.
Mm.
Or, you know, when a small, like your cat right now, you know how sometimes animals can look jacked and you're like, what the heck?
Yes.
Absolutely. Frank has a bunch of frogs that are on steroids.
Oh, brother. I bet they have strong legs, but they wouldn't be able to outrun me in a foot race. I can run upright and almost unearthly speed.
Oh my God. Guys, I don't know. I'm getting kind of scared.
Yeah, I'm not really
liking our odds. A large bird, you know, the tenants before us, they left a cable box here, and, you know, I used to be in the cable installation business, and how would you like free cable in your home?
Would that be all right? I know I'm just like a new roommate and best friend, but you would also let me maybe like watch The Sopranos at my house?
Oh, yeah, it would be so easy. We just have to go down into your place and install the cable for you. Oh. 1, 2, 3.
Well, that would be incredible. As you can imagine, although incredibly strong and almost designed to destroy, I lack basic dexterity.
Yeah, I'm noticing now that, and I love commenting, I'm just going to say it, I love commenting on each other's bodies. I think it's so fun. But you have a lot of, I want to say stitching at like different points of your body. It's mm-hmm. almost as if you are made up of different things, of different beings, and to create you are the sum of your parts. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
As you can imagine, the chasm is deeply, deeply, like, I guess the closest word that would make sense without getting too deep into science, which I freaking love, is like radioactive, but like, again, this is science for true babies. So although my initial starting point at life was a common starling taking basically a shit over the chasm and then allowing to grow before I burst from the mud,
mm-hmm.
I have developed and noticed things that I like about other people and sort of done like little tradesies.
Wow.
Little tradesies. You've done little tradesies?
Yeah, I would say it's sort of like how we're about to tradesies this cable box. In the chasm, cable is 20 years in the past from what I'm understanding, which is why I'm so stoked to finally watch The Sopranos. To know that there's 20 years of shows that I can't even fathom? Well, That would be unbelievable and would be probably the only thing that could let someone into my house.
Well, you know what? It's not good. It's not good to watch The Sopranos without someone who's already seen it and kind of is looking at you and seeing like, oh, does he like this part? Like, watch this part. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like making sure you have the right reaction. So I've seen The Sopranos. So I would, if you wanted, I could join, you know, Frank and you into the, so once the cable box is set up, I can sit with you. I can explain who Big Pussy is and like what his significance is if you're interested.
Oh my gosh. Know? That would be like Christ. That would be so helpful, just like Christ is.
That's what my bracelet says. What would Jesus do? He would watch The Sopranos with a big monster.
Oh, and he'd teach me all about Big Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Eddie.
Yes?
You'll stay here and watch the Old Navy then?
Yeah, you know what? I'll just stay here and polish my fossils.
Eddie, we are a crime team, and if I'm going to go down there with my big-ass feet, you better go too.
You know what? On second thought, the fossils look pretty shiny. Maybe I should just go ahead and head down there too.
These fossils are too shiny, I have to say. They're hurting my eyes.
Well, you know, it's just... we get so many ants at the museum that sometimes we need to concentrate sunbeams to zap them. And we broke all the magnifying glasses when we were hunting for that murderer and clues to figure out who the killer was. So now we zap them with fossils.
Did you wait? I thought you solved the murder bird mystery.
Well, you know, we got very close. That's what I'll say. We got very close, and then, you know, I dropped the last magnifying glass and we couldn't find any more clues. It was just, you know,
rats.
Yeah.
You'll probably never catch him, and it's worth just dropping the case entirely if you're out of magnifying glasses.
Well, you described what you had seen though to Frank, and he did do a sketch artist of the perpetrator, what you thought he might look like. Is that right, Frank? Do you have that drawing?
Oh yeah, it's right here. I got that categorized under
No, that's the one of Large Bird. That's the one of Large Bird. Show the bird murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's dated. It's the same time as the perpetrator. It must be a filing accident.
I don't like how Kelly likes to comment on people's bodies. I guess I like to comment on people's art. And you're just probably a bad artist. But that's okay. There's plenty of room to grow.
You know what, Larchford? I just realized, you know, while we did check out the V-necks, we didn't check out the crew necks to make sure those are holding up okay. Do you mind if we just go run up?
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, check if pizza fits in the crew necks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we use personal pan pizza, so they're circular.
Mamma mia! All
right, so if you put those big hands over those big ears, we'd be right back. We don't want to bore you with crew neck talk.
Okay, earmuffs on!
Okay. Guys, this is going fucking good.
Yeah. Although I can't help but notice it really seems like Larchford might be the bird murderer.
I mean, he can't be. He's so friendly. You think so?
Wait, hold on. Eddie, have you been able to contact any of the bird murderer's victims?
Well,
in the afterlife? Because you can talk to ghosts and animal ghosts. I feel like that's all the things that he could have killed.
Oh, I've certainly talked to them, and they all sort of describe the same thing, which is that this very fast, clumsy, talon-swinging abomination just shredded them to bits before they could even really see what hit them.
Dead end. Another dead end. Well, the pizza's done at least. Let's check out this crew next. Yeah, that one looks good.
This one's good.
That one's good.
This one's good.
This one's pretty good. Oh, dropped a pepperoni.
Well, there we go. That's fine. The little small crew neck. All right. So the crew necks are good. The crew necks are fine. All right. large bird. I hope we're not being too forward with this, but we happen to have we would love to come to the chasm with you and set up the Sopranos and watch the Sopranos with you. We could use a ride is what I'm saying, maybe if you were on your way back there, you know,
hop on my back, which is way big enough for three people and a cat. Probably have room for, if you have friends, anyone who wants to come along who is specifically involved in the installation of cable, otherwise I am not interested, get on board.
Okay, this is, let me get the little step stool that we use to get the graphic tees on higher shelves.
Yep, and I will just park myself on all fours like a dog in wait.
Guys, are we doing this? Is it worth, wait, Frank, does it really mean this much to you to kill King Koopa?
Do you want to live in a world where a big, dumb, spiky turtle is telling you what to do? Or do you want to take back our freedom? Because it hasn't been taken yet. But if this dude surfaces, he's gonna take our freedom.
Oh my god, he's putting back on his blue face paint, but also red and white face paint.
Just to be clear, as we've mentioned, my ears are the size of my whole body, and I can hear the plan. And if you all just want to kill King Koopa, we can go do that.
But he's your roommate. I thought you guys were best friends.
We are kind of working out our own issues through like sort of a video like log thing. But I don't know if we have a lot of subscribers, so I could probably murder him and not even think about it.
Are we going to do this? Is this our next crime? We have to get the cat involved. Eddie, try to convince the cat to do this one last score with us.
Okay. Hang on. Just give me a sec.
Oh, he's going over to the liquor cabinet and taking a big shot of whiskey. Oh god, he's saying bye to his friends and family.
All right, he says he's in, but after this, he's out forever. And he's gonna move out into the country, meet someone nice, and just settle down to a simple life. No more crime.
Good fucking luck. I'm just putting on my big stripy shirt, my mask. I'm taking a sip out of a bottle that says XXX on it, putting on a beret for some reason, and I'm ready for crime.
I'm going to put on these big red overalls and this big red cap. I'm going to take my big hammer.
That's your turtle smashing outfit, and I know it well. So before we saddle up on this giant monstrosity, Large Bird, would you like to plug anything other than your video log of you and your soon to be deceased roommates? Is there anything else that you would like to plug and tell our listeners about before we head off into the chasm?
I guess, I would like to plug, I think that probably The Wire has come out in the chasm at this point.
Oh, I think
I've heard that that's pretty good. Other than that, there's no good TV. I'm excited to see The Sopranos, but mostly I just watch All in the Family, and it hasn't aged well. I already know that.
No. Archie Bunker's One Big Pyramid.
Yikes. Let's go kill my roommate.
Let's go kill a roommate. So thank you all so much for listening. We will be back to the chasm. Hopefully we will be back, and we will have lots to talk about. We'll do a Sopranos recap next week. And on behalf of Frank Delano, Eddie Klinker, and Large Bird, thanks for listening. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.